What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about Super Bowl week. I'm Ralph Compiano. I'm your host, and I'm joined by two of my starters, Mike Cerrone and Nick Bordenero. New Mike Bordy, how you feeling? You feeling professional? You feel like a Twitch streamer?
I'm feeling nice, man. I'm feeling smooth audio, smooth face. It's about the only parts on me that are hairless.
Crisp right now.
We're sounding crisp. Very crisp. I like it. On the MacBook too. Finally came upon a charger for my computer, so things are looking up. 2024 for Borgs. Took me till February, but yeah.
Things are looking up in the T-pop world.
A lot of people start in January, but I need a little bit of a buffer. I need time to phase out of my old self.
Yeah, we needed things to get back to normal. We needed the Niners and the Chiefs and the Super Bowl to get back to where we're at. Cerrone, how was your weekend, baby? How you doing?
It was great. God, what did I do? I had a very good weekend. I did dry January. I completed it. Due with that, I got blacked out last night. Just drank, which from coming off a giant January is just pretty much six White Claws and a couple Zins, and then passed out on my boy's couch, which was, but it's just a boys' night, you know?
That's
just
a drink, movie.
Have fun. Right before that, I did a huge reading for which I was going to talk about, but knock on wood, I think I legitimately got, I think there's a good chance I get this movie as not the four, not the three, not the two, but the number one, the lead. So you guys actually might be able to see Cerrone this year, not on a big screen necessarily, but on
a screen, nonetheless.
You're probably watching me on a screen now, but on a bigger screen than you're watching me on now. So that was actually huge. I did really well. And then just fucking kicked it today.
Well, you're just on my laptop screen right now.
Our iPhone screen's on TikTok. Our laptop screen's on Riverside.
By
YouTube.
The end of the year, I'll be on at least a Vizio or a nice Philips maybe, a little Sony.
Hisense.
In the living room. Hopefully.
Hell
so.
Yeah.
I'm banking on that, and then had a nice dinner tonight. And now we're back. We're just hanking out, shooting shit. There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Kick ass, so, man. I mean, we're 3 days away from seeing each other. I'm getting in for the Waste Management Open. We're getting together this week. We are first time really seeing each other in person, not on FaceTime or through the triplets text or the pop-off chat in like 2.5 years. And
I was
that's
saying,
just
been a couple of years.
It's baffling to me. It's honestly heartbreaking that it's been that long, but we have bigger things to talk about. So we're going
to
be together for the Super Bowl.
That's a
so
pretty
I thought
big
that
thing
it
to
be,
talk about. Voice management.
It is, but like I'd rather talk about it. I don't want to
later in the week.
Yeah, I think that we'll do some stuff while we're together, and then the goal is to we'll recap it at the end because that's going to be a shit show. Like it really is. I'm fired the fuck up. It's the first vacation, quote unquote, that I've taken in a year and a half. So I've got 5 days
bail
off.
Money.
Some
you
extra
bail
money.
So I gotta say,
it's Waste Management is Christmas. It's
I'm trying to avoid Xanax at all costs because God knows what hole I would go down. Like I'd probably end up moving there and just like relocating all of my funds to FanDuel. So it'll just be strictly alcohol for the boy this weekend. Not like
Adderall.
It hasn't been. Don't have an addiction or anything like that. But we had the Super Bowl this weekend, so let's do that. I asked you guys to bring a couple of bets that you're eyeing moving into this weekend. I am curious where your guys' hearts are at and where your heads are at because mine are in two totally different places. My heart is on the 49ers. I want them to win. I am tired of the fucking Chiefs. I was on a date tonight with a girl that doesn't even like football, and she's tired of the Chiefs. So it feels like the majority of America is in this kind of position where we're just exhausted by the commercials, the Taylor Swiftness, the potential rigging of the AFC Championship game and some holds and stuff like that. And then my head is telling me, why would I bet against Mahomes? I've done it twice already this postseason. Lost both times like a fucking idiot. And Cerrone told me not to do it once, and then he told me to do it again. And Bordy's always like, come on, man. Let's be realistic here. It's probably going to be him. Bordy, where's your heart at? And where's your head at, Bordy?
Tell you where my heart's at. It's right here. It's on my chest. It's in the bay.
Wow.
All right. And I've kind of grown on the Chiefs, you know, respect for Turner and Reesburg, a lot of love for them and what they do in Kansas City. Obviously, I respect them as a football team. But as an Iowa Hawkeye, it's just kind of time to hang that hate up on the shelf. You know, it's time to put it away deep in the closet for Purdy. And it's time to just get Kittle that Super Bowl, because he is the one true Hawkeye. You know, when you think of a Hawkeye tight end, he was the prodigal son, kind of. He wasn't a first-round guy like the likes of LaPorta or Hawkinson. You know, he had to get out the dirt, out the mud.
Yep.
Yeah. Dallas, yeah. But that was before our time a little bit. Before my time, you're a little bit older. Yeah. But,
yeah, I saw the funniest Niners fucking video of Iowa City this week. You would love it, Bordy. It's just this girl, like, puking outside of Poncheros on Clinton Street, like, you know, right by Summit. Just saw puking. Like
10 minutes ago.
And a guy comes up behind her and goes, "Blue, 42, and puts his hands under her ass like he's taking a snap. And then he does like a three-step drop back, and her friend starts chasing him. And I'm like, holy shit, that's Iowa City right there. And like, I could see Kittle doing that. It's the corner
of Summit and Poncheros.
That's the most Iowa thing I've ever heard.
I mean, it's also like, it's a clusterfuck.
Could be
there.
The move to do that every time one of your boys throws up, which is get behind him and just do a snap count. Give him a little, "Here we go, here we go."
See, like, I'm like I'm a gross thrower upper. Like, when Jason, I throw up, I'm like, I'm crying. Like, I get tears out of my eyes.
Yeah, it's not like I'm this weekend.
I mean, I know, but like, you know, like, it's not a good look for me. So like, it'd be nice to get a laugh out while I'm doing it. Like, if I just feel Cerrone's hands on my gooch, like,
that's a good feeling.
You know, I was a center in fifth and sixth grade football for tackle. So I had hands up my ass all the time. So I'm used to it, but it's been a while since I've been there. But Cerrone, where's your head at and where's your heart at? Because Bordy's heart is on the Niners. Where's your heart at and where's your head at?
God, I just like, yeah, I can't believe having this conversation again. But, yeah, give me the Niners. Come on. Purdy is a little bit more promising. Every playoff game deeper, he gets a little bit more promising. And there's just too much fucking talent all over that team. Offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball. Yep. Again, I know the Chiefs, the coaching. I mean, let's be honest. Chiefs will win this game. They will. Yeah.
I'm rooting
for the
Niners.
I want the 49ers to win. I'm rooting for the Niners.
Good money.
I'll say this, too.
Put it on the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Kittle anytime is very tasty. Because I feel like that's his, like, it's almost like Mark Andrews to Lamar. Like, he's just, that's like his, that's his, you know, when he's scrambling out of the pocket, just like Mahomes looks for Kelsey, you know, Purdy's looking for Kittle. I like that a lot because the Chiefs can still win that game and that Beck can obviously still hit with the Kittle touchdown. I'm excited for this game. I honestly, I don't know about you guys. I mean, I've just been so balls deep in the Ravens and just hating the Chiefs. I forgot that this is a rematch of a couple of years ago, yep. Which like kind of just hit me in the face because there's that clip of Kittle saying, "I'll be back.
Yep.
I'll be back here," which I completely blanked that. That's what was that? Mahomes' first ring, or
yes, his first Super Bowl. So they played the Niners. They won. They came back against Jimmy G. It's that famous jet chip wasp play where Tyreek like literally ran to the center of the field and then back to the left, and it was designed on that huge conversion. And then he went to Tampa Bay, lost to Brady. And then the next year, it was Rams-Bengals. And then, obviously, last year, he got his second Super Bowl against the Eagles. The Kittle anytime touchdown is interesting. That's at plus 170. A touchdown that I kind of like is we started to see it in the second half. There's not a lot of value if you look at the anytime touchdown scores, actually.
Yeah, that's
gonna bring that
terrible
up.
Value. I might take
everything's weak plus, on Super Bowl.
It's tough. So McCaffrey is minus 220. Like, it's like, put your bank account on that. Pacheco, minus 135. And then everybody else is in the plus 100 range here. Kelsey, plus 100. Debo, 145. Rashee Rice, plus 140. Ayuk, 155. Kittle, 170. So that means that the market, people are shifting towards those guys. One that I love is we saw this guy use his legs a lot in the second half against Detroit. Brock Purdy, plus 900 to get in the end zone. Wow. He is, if you watch that, if you think back on that Lions game, it looked like he went over to the sideline and Shanahan or Brian Greasy, his quarterback's coach, who used to be in the Monday Night Football booth, said to him, "Hey, don't be afraid to pick up a third down with your legs." And he's an underrated athlete, and I don't think that's going to be a focal point for the Chiefs.
He almost 100%. Had like a, it was like a 14, 15-yard run. I think he got to like the three. That actually bodes well, way better than a Kittle plus 170. That's like, yeah, that's kind of, you're not really getting anything out of that. Like, that's actually pretty bad value. But yeah, Purdy bounce around, I could see that. Or a little QB sneak, they always end up on the one. And then for it to be plus 900, holy shit. I like that a
lot.
Not
too shabby. Mahomes has
not too shabby.
I touched that ASU boy, so I always like that too.
A little yeah. ASU action on Ayuk. Yeah, I can dig that. My thought going into this game is, all right, so like I've been hearing a lot of conversation, especially from not like football obsessives. Like we're obsessed with football. We watch every single week, sit on our couch from noon to 7, or not even noon to 7 p.m. because Sunday Night Football kicks off at 7 p.m. here. But Cerrone, you watch from 10 to 9. I watch from noon to 9:30.
I sit on my couch for 5 months, okay? It's not a daily thing. It's half of the year just engrossed in stress and ups and downs and tears. But continue.
Bet your ass I'm going to be watching the USFL and Dwayne Johnson league merger trying to find some diamonds in the rough for my team. The Cowboys need to use that guy.
Yeah. I
don't
but my question is it's like
talent.
Like I'm wondering yeah, like yeah, is definitely. Your excitement level like drained a little bit compared to other Super Bowls? Because I mean I'm thinking back to like Rams Bengals specifically or even Chiefs Eagles last year, like I was fired up for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah.
Whereas this year like I'm like, let's just get it over with. Like, I guess I'm excited for kickoff, but I'm not like, I don't know. It's the fucking Super Bowl, you know? Like, it's Drake made a song where he says, big as the Super Bowl, and that feels like the biggest event in the world. I know it's going to be a huge event. I know there's going to be 100 million people watching it, but like, my excitement, personally, as a football fan, isn't that high. And I feel like it should be because, you know, it's two best teams in the world going at it for a championship, but I'm more excited for March Madness, which is very rare for me because like I could give a fuck about college basketball.
That's crazy to me too because you're such a big I've never seen a person as big of a fucking NBA fan just not give two fucks about college ball. That's very like I don't know, I feel like you'd be pretty balls deep in college ball too. I don't know, is it just not like I mean dude, college basketball is insane. March Madness is almost better than, I'd say, like, you got NBA playoffs. Like,
March Madness
college,
is definitely,
right there.
For 90% of America, March Madness is definitely above college basketball. But my issue with college basketball, and it's gotten better, actually, is that sometimes I just think to myself, like, if I'm watching West Virginia versus Baylor, I'm like, dude, 85% of these guys are going to be accountants a year from now or working at fucking Enterprise. So I struggle with that. But then since I started coaching basketball,
XFL.
I've become a little bit more appreciative of it. But the other issue that I have is I saw this thing that was circulating on social media. It was, I think, Kentucky versus UConn. It was like John Wall versus Kemba Walker. And we just don't get matchups like that anymore in college basketball because, you know, if you look at like the mock drafts for the NBA going into this year, like 80% of the guys in the top 10 are European or they're playing in the G League Ignite. So college isn't, the NCAA isn't getting the best talent anymore, which I'm just like frustrated by. Like, as a Duke fan, this year, I'm invested. I've probably watched 7 Duke games. Outside of that, I've probably watched 10 collective college basketball games. But like, we don't have a Cooper Flagg, which we'll have next year, and he's going to be the favorite for the number one pick. So years where we have like Paolo Banchero, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Jason Tatum, I'm like locked in, ready to roll.
I couldn't
but
give
years
you
like
5
this,
college
like,
basketball players.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Really?
Like, who's the best player in the country? It's that big fucking – it's Zach Edey from Purdue, and he doesn't play an exciting brand of basketball. I just found out about this Tennessee kid the other day named Dalton, who's averaging 32 points in his last 6 games. But, like, I just – that doesn't – it doesn't tickle me, man. I'd rather watch Jalen Brunson.
Women's college
dudes.
Hoops. That's another story. That shit's
Caitlin
like
is a whole different story.
Bravo TV. Yeah, that shit's like Real Housewives of South Carolina.
I think we should actually talk about her because she is one of the bigger stories in sports. I was shocked the other day. Went over to my buddy's place, and we had money on Kentucky over Tennessee, lost, and Knicks over Lakers, lost. And I get over to his house, and he's watching Iowa women's basketball against Wisconsin, Nebraska. I can't remember who it was. I'm like,
we
wait,
faced
what the
Wisconsin,
fuck?
Nebraska, Ohio State. It's all a blur.
He's like,
they all
yeah,
get
we're going to watch.
They all get fucking
we're going to watch Caitlin.
Ohio State actually upset him, but.
But, like, I was like, oh, my God, we're watching Caitlin Clark instead of Kentucky, who has, like, 5 pros on their team, or LeBron in the Madison Square Garden. Like, we're watching Caitlin Clark instead. And that's, like, what the mass is like,
she's
I guess.
Exciting.
It was
she's
on Fox.
Dog.
It's not like it was on ESPN2. It was on Fox which is insane. That's changing the game.
Yeah, with also Gus Johnson that video. That was he on the. That's insane. That little clip of her, that was one of the funniest. Her getting trucked by, I think it was when they get upset by Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
You can play that clip real quick. Storm. That is one of the funniest, like, just out of pocket, just like, wait, what did I just see?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she kind of, like, flopped too. Like, the whole game, she just doesn't flop at all. And then, like, when the fan rushes the crowd, like, this big lady just, like, gives her a little bit of a shoulder and she just, like, flops. Like, and she, like, gets, like, helped off the court. I hope she doesn't turn into, like,
Ohio women are no joke. I mean, you run into Ohio woman, you're falling down 7 days a week, twice on Sunday. They're sturdy girls in Ohio.
The girl that actually trucked her got signed to a 10-day to the Rams. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Bengals could use her.
Play defensive end.
The Cowboys could definitely use her. Yeah, she could, like, replace Zach Martin at right guard. I don't know. I just think it's fascinating because, like, she has this aura around her where if she was this good, like, you guys remember Sabrina Ionescu? She played at Oregon.
She has a step back a couple of years ago. No women's hooper has ever had a step back.
Well, they've had step backs. Like, we have girls in our program that can hit step backs, like, straight up. Like, we have sophomore girls in high school that can consistently hit it at a more effective clip than me. We do. Like, I can send you the clips right now of Ari Day and Jenica Juliet.
You?
Dead ass. You gotta, easily, bro.
You got a Joel Embiid ass step back.
Yeah, it takes too long to get off. That's my problem. You know, I'm more spot up catch and shoot. But, like, she doesn't just have the step back. She has the logo ball. Like, she's flinging that motherfucker up from 32 feet. Like, it's gotten to a level where you have to respect her when she crosses half court. And how many, not even just women basketball players, but how many basketball players have you said that about in your lifetime? Steph Curry, LeBron when he gets hot, Halliburton now, Trae Young. Running out of people to think of, Jimmer. Like, it's kind of the Jimmer effect. Like, Jimmer came from BYU. Nobody saw it. He was a 6'3 white kid that was a fucking Mormon, and he just started cooking everybody in the country.
The craziest that's the thing about Caitlin.
What is that in you? You know, she does have a little Jimmer in her. Where does that come from?
Yeah.
I think it comes from growing up and playing against boys.
Out like Jimmer did.
No. She's going to the WNBA.
She's like a generational.
And there's, you know,
you guys
kind
went
of like,
to high school with her. You guys need to bring that up more often. That you guys all have like this picture where that's just, I don't know. I feel like you guys should bring that up more often. Like, that's kind of insane.
I mean, Bordy's, you know, one of his best friends from high school is her older brother, and so he and Petey played on the same AAU team growing up.
Get her in the
we were state champs
on the Maroons.
And don't sleep on her big bro. Her big bro was a
dog. She was. Shout out maybe Blake. A kindergartner when I first met her, because Petey and Blake would have been in third grade. I think she's 3 years younger than them, and I'm 2 years older than them, so I was in fifth grade. And I remember at halftime of games,
in third grade
as a kindergartner.
Actually, that
Cerrone.
Taking that out of context is awful, but you know what I meant.
Yes, yeah, no, she was dripping. I mean, I was rebounding for her when I was 10, and she was 5, and she was serving.
That's
like she would just drill like 12 elbow jumpers in a row at half. And like, you know, when you play change, like if you make it, like you get two shots. I would never get the ball because she was just fucking draining everything. And it's on a 10-foot hoop as a 5-year-old. I coach like first and second graders sometimes, and it's a nightmare. They play on 8-foot hoops and they don't make anything. She was draining like 15-foot J's like as a 5-year-old.
Damn.
It was
absurd.
Yes, she was born to do this, man.
She had that dog in her.
Yeah,
she's had it in her. Going to school with her, I would go to more girls' games than boys' games just because
she
the best player.
60 in high school.
On
like,
either of the
like
teams.
Around,
yeah. I watched
like,
her, I watched
around,
her
like,
get the
science
ball.
Class? Like, was she
hit a... took the ball. She took a 3/4 of the court shot and shot it like a normal shot. Like, you know how, like, if we were to shoot it, like, we would have to...
You fling it.
Hoist it up there and, like fling it. She shot it like fucking jumper from 3/4 of the court, and she fucking made it as a sophomore in high school. I don't even know another girl that could throw a basketball that far, and she shot it like a jumper, like
a 16-year-old girl,
dead ass. Yeah.
What was she like? Like
most girls that
like,
size
and
that
like
age
partying.
No,
she was not going to any of Petey's parties.
Like,
no, she was locked in.
Yeah,
hoops.
But was she like, was she a social, like, you know, if you sit next to her and like, you know, like,
she was
like
just
math,
like MJ
algebra,
in high school
like,
or like Kobe, like you see the videos of Kobe at his prom. That was basically, she was just kind of like,
But she's a normal,
you see that
normal
superstar
girl
in the hallways. Yeah, she's just a normal girl, always smile on her face.
Good for her.
She's a sweetheart in real life, from what I know. Yeah, great family. But I think the thing that's made her so popular is that on the court, she's a total prick. Like, she is an asshole. Straight up.
She's got a little Grace and Allen.
That is not a knock.
Mama mentality.
She'll trip a bit.
That's the kind of thing that... That takes, like, if she was doing all of this and she didn't have, like, the man in the arena vibe or woman in the arena vibe, she wouldn't be as big. But, you know, the shot where she got an and one from 32 feet on a three and the ball's still in the air and she looks at the scores table and she says, count it, that kind of shit is, like, it's Kobe shit. It really is. Like, she's the female coming of that. And Clark asked a question and I can't believe we're talking about women's basketball this much.
I wish Kobe could have seen more of her. I wish Kobe could have seen more. That's, like, my dying wish, I think. So I wish Kobe could
have. He was really invested in the women's game. Like, he was coaching girls basketball.
I think he might have seen her, like, on the circuit, maybe, because she was obviously hooping with the Tacks, and she was probably
the Nike team.
12 or 13. So maybe saw her on the circuit somewhere, like KD did. I remember she was still
imagine
in high school.
Imagine Kobe
KD
coaching his
tweeting.
Daughter and Caitlin Clark. God.
That was kind of always the dream, but we'll just have to live through Caitlin and the rest of the women's game. And let's not call him whatever Michael Porter Jr. called him. What he called him, ping pong players.
What?
So you missed that clip, Viv?
No, I didn't see this.
Figured you would have picked that up on NBA Twitter, but there was a Michael Porter Jr. interview, and he compared women's basketball and their pay to professional ping pong players. I'm not sure how he brought it all together, and the context has been taken into question, obviously, but I could care less about.
Maybe he was saying they don't get paid enough. He was on their side or something, but that's a tough.
Well, you could go to Twitter and back him up, Cerrone. I wasn't going to get into that. Or
I got better things to do. I think I saw that it was on the podcast with. It's crazy how many, because every retired sports player has a podcast now.
Yeah.
So, like, especially
Gil is just interviewing
year
everyone.
Or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. It's insane how many football, NBA. I mean, it's crazy. So a lot of shit gets taken out. Like, even Cam Newton. I can't stand Cam Newton on that podcast, man.
He's the worst.
I don't know if you guys like him.
No.
But just kind of,
I mean, I liked him as a football
ass.
Player, but yeah, he's impossible
to
listen to.
A hat that's like, he always has that hat that's, I don't even know if is there like a little rabbit under there? It's like 30 feet above his head.
We should just put him and Brandon Marshall in a ring together, watch them butt heads.
Literally, just
watch
those
two.
He's got so much to say; it's unbelievable. But you got to think that other NFL players are listening to that. Just like, I don't know. Do you think they hate him or not hate him? But just like, man,
that shit needs to stop. I've been meaning to talk about this on the pod, but Micah Parsons podcast, like, get on here and talk about some stupid shit, and like, I sound like an idiot a lot, I get that, but he is one of the dumbest people on earth. Like, I was watching a Pro Bowl segment today, and he was making David Njoku look like fucking Nostradamus, and David Njoku, I'm pretty sure, is from Nigeria and half speaks English, and Mike is just making him look like the fucking a Jeopardy winner. Like, it's fucking, it's sad, it's embarrassing that somebody would put him in front of a mic and think that's going to help his
brand. He's putting himself in front of the mic. He's setting up his, like, Twitch stream and just being a fucking idiot.
Somebody gave him a bag. I think it's Bleacher Report. It's through and Bleacher Report puts out some of the worst shit ever. So Bleacher Report gave him a bag, and they were like, come get some of that CTE off. And it's embarrassing. And if a current player is going to have a podcast, it should be somebody like Dak talking about, like, mental health and, like, doing better. It shouldn't be Micah, like, spouting dumb shit and talking shit about other teams. Like,
well, they used to do a thing.
Nobody respects that.
Well, I don't know. Like, if they want to do a podcast, fine. But, like, the fact that, the Kelce podcast is number one is amazing. But I think the best sports,
they're coherent
figure that has
they're
converted into it
together.
Though sure they are but like I think the best thing that we've gotten as like a culture and people that consume this kind of stuff is ESPN partnered with, first they did it with Kobe, and then they did it with Peyton Manning, and then KD has done it too, where they work on this series called ESPN Detail, And it is a microscopic look at plays from critical games. So it's Kobe looking at like game two of the 2017 NBA Finals, like how LeBron will dissect the Golden State Warriors defense. It's porn. It's like cool. The greatest thing you've ever fucking seen. And it's only available on ESPN Plus. That's the kind of stuff that they should be promoting on a bigger stage versus, Bleacher Report's fucking Instagram page. And I'm like, oh my God, or ESPN, here goes Ryan Clark again, telling me that Brock Purdy wouldn't start for 31 other teams, but because he's in Shanahan's offense, it works. It's like, shut the fuck up. Just stop.
It's the same thing.
We know what you're doing. It's just for clicks. Actually, yes. CTE translates into clicks.
Content.
There's a reason AB has like probably like 3 million followers on Twitter, because people like to get an AB tweet once in their life, and he's just saying the most heinous, ridiculous shit you ever seen. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember this one video of him golfing. Tattooed AB's right on her cheek. AB's face is right here. So that's right,
we
gotta
get back to the Super Bowl here. So I've got a bunch of
guys. Is Shannon Sharp and Ocho that one?
Don't get Morty started.
That one. Is we won't talk. Yeah, we can end it. But that one is gold. They do it
because
they're just dudes. Like they're just
Unks the man,
just being the boys, just talking about getting ass and just the exact conversations that we all have. Like hearing them go at it and their chemistry.
But even Gilbert Arenas gets on that fucking podcast sometimes. Gil gets on there and makes everybody feel uncomfortable. I'm like, fucking get Ocho back in this bitch.
I kind of like Gilbert Arenas on the pod. All right, but there are two bets that I want to make live. So I've got them pulled up right here for you guys to look at. It's just two of my favorite
Thursday
bets
too, with
Chiefs
boys. So don't commit to nothing.
I know, but just these two, these are fun. All right, so the first one is who will be mentioned first in the MVP speech, okay? God or a religious figure is the favorite at -150. Teammates at +250. Coaches at +1100. Team organization at +1400. Family at +1800. And the fans +2000. Who's the first one that's mentioned in the Super Bowl MVP speech? And what do you like the odds on?
I like team. I like the Chiefs winning and this team, so much resilience. We started off the season shitty. We couldn't get together. We found ways to win. If Purdy gets it, it'll be God, because he's a little choir boy. Or not a choir boy. That doesn't make any sense. What do you call it? An altar boy. Is that the fuck?
That works,
Clearly, I haven't been to church in a while.
Let's spice things up here. If the Ravens were playing in this game, would this... odds list look
Kodak,
any different?
Like Kodak would... Black -9000
for making Super Bowl.
Lamar wins the championship. He's like, "Thank you, Kodak. Thank you, Jack.
Free Kodak.
This is free Jack."
I think he's on a Keith Block kick right now.
And
I
then,
think he listened
and then,
to the pod
and then
Mark back on
Ingram
Keith Block
at the second talking about just big trust.
Yeah,
Lamar wins it.
Not even on the team anymore. I like family here at +1800 for Mahomes. I mean, we should probably talk about the fact his dad just got a DWI this week.
Oh,
or
I
this
said,
weekend.
Dude.
You sent it in the chat.
I mean,
chat,
he's like 50 years
like,
old. 3 O-dubs ain't that bad.
Well,
like
I was going to say,
60,
it's
that's
crazy
like...
that was a push notification, though, for everybody who had the ESPN app. That was a push notification.
Like he's
that
fucking
your dad
OJ.
Got it. It's kind of fucked. Yeah, it's kind of fucked, to be honest. But
well, I was going to say, like, I'm every time I've seen him, he seems drunk. And, he's at football games. Every time I see him, it's a post-game presser. So, yeah, I'm sure he's drinking during it. But, like, he's just popping up and, like, sounding, like, drunk all the time. Like, don't you think one of those games he might be sober for? Just one of them?
Fuck it, why would you?
Imagine if we got push notifications if one of our friends did dumb shit.
If I had to drive Jackson Mahomes
to
fucking... If I had to drive Jackson to his big brother's games, I'd probably have a little speedo too.
You'd be soft. You'd be non-responsive.
All right, and then the other one is, what is Usher's first song that he's going to perform during the halftime show? I mean, just looking at this list of songs, I'm not excited for this. Maybe that's why I'm also not as excited for this game.
Club. That's a banger.
Yeah,
like,
that's fire.
Yeah is the favorite at +225. My Way, +225. DJ Got Us Fallen in Love. I have to hear that during the Super Bowl.
DJ Got
Us
Fallen
in Love
doing? Again.
Love in This Club,
Love
OMG,
in this
Boyfriend.
A that's a good one.
I don't think any of these I don't like these songs.
I'd rather see Billy Joel play the halftime. Shout out Billy Joel.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
All right, we can actually do that and talk about the Grammys here in a second. But first, we need to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. All right, we're back and we're talking about maybe the most disputed awards show every year, the Grammys. And I say disputed because I think that it is the least reflective of all of the major award shows for what people actually give a shit about, what is awarded, right? I mean, Taylor Swift, Drake, Beyonce, Jay-Z, a lot of these people, the identification of their persona and their celebrity is not as recognized by the Grammys, Jay-Z and Beyonce aside. I mean, Jay-Z is 24, I think. Kanye is 24. Beyonce is like 32. But even Jay-Z said it tonight that Beyonce hasn't won Album of the Year once, despite having 32 Grammys. But, you know, people like the ones that are actually coming onto the scene that people give a fuck about, they just don't get as recognized. They're like, we'll give Ice Spice a little treat. She can come to the show, but she's not going to win anything, which is fine. But, all right, Bordy has – did you watch the entire – show? Like, did you watch the, do you look forward to this every year? Is this something that you like lock in on, or you're like, the Grammys on, I'll put it on?
No, I definitely look forward to the Grammys. It's always interesting, to say the least. You know, some of these award shows lack that, but the Grammys is not one of them. You could shit talk who won, who didn't, but the Grammys really isn't for that. You know, it's for some of these acts to get up on stage and strut their stuff and to honor some people we've lost. And thought it was a great show tonight, mostly from top to bottom. They kept it light on the Taylor Swift, which I appreciated, but she was in the crowd supporting everybody. You want some takeaways from tonight? I think
it's an opportunity to see all of your favorite celebrities in one place rather than just on Instagram. You know, it is cool that we still do this, that you get the biggest acts in the world all to come, but you know, Drake wasn't there, so I'm
yeah,
not
I wouldn't
be
say
as
it's the
in.
Biggest
Future
acts
wasn't
in
there.
The world. Like, I think the night started off with,
but you got Olivia Rodrigo there, you got Taylor Swift there, Miley Cyrus, Beyonce and Jay were there, so it's like, you know, you got like a lot of A-plus list celebrities there.
Yeah, so the night started off with a little Luke Combs and Tracy Crawford, who originally sings Fast Car. Yep, Tracy Chapman. I called her that earlier. You corrected me and I messed it up again. But they duetted Fast Car, which is originally her song. She has a nice rendition of that at Wembley Stadium, which is cool. That was cool to see. Then SZA followed that up with a little Billie Eilish and some Miley Cyrus. And we just had a run of some beautiful women for a good hour there.
We had SZA perform, Billie Eilish perform, and Miley Cyrus perform.
And then right after that, Lainey Wilson won an award.
Okay, who was the hottest performance out of the three? Who was showing the most skin between SZA, Miley Cyrus, and Billie Eilish?
So
this is just
SZA
for
had a nice
research purposes.
SZA had about a 3-minute long like music video that aired like weirdly like before. And you're like, what is going on here? This is like a music, this is cut in weird. And then it just turned out it was a MasterCard commercial. And it was like, what the fuck? It was like a trippy 3-minute long SZA's like swinging on a swing, singing one of her amazing songs. And at the end, it's just like, MasterCard. And I was just like, what's in your wallet, man?
Oh, that's
and I'm going, yeah. I don't know if MasterCard has brick and mortar stores. Never seen one. But I'm getting a MasterCard tomorrow. Getting a business card.
Damn right you are.
Opening one in my daughter's name. And I'm running
LLC.
Up a fucking... Yeah. Brilliant marketing. Just imagine if Drake did like a 2-minute long like music video to like just some song he hasn't done a music video for yet. And after he's just like, Subway. Or like, Cheesecake Factory.
I swear to God I would go to Subway the next day.
Oh God! Yeah,
just do Drake lines from the song.
Have you seen those footlong cookies they do now?
Yeah,
dude. I was at Subway. We were talking about this in one of our group chats. I think it was ours. Maybe it was Lamar's Disciples, which is funny. Cerrone isn't in the one that we have titled Lamar's Disciples. It's a Madden group chat that we have with the Ruprex and Rex.
Yeah, you gotta get on the sticks.
Yeah, we always just talk about just stupid lunches, essentially, and like how like when you get Subway, like you're not really telling your boys about it. You're not taking a picture of your sandwich and sending it to them.
No, you're
like when we all get
like
something good,
you're treating that like a rub and tug spot. You're walking out with a hoodie. You're going in there with a mask.
Like, yeah, buddy, COVID was 4 years ago. Yeah, I'm in Subway alone. Let me be.
Oh, if you eat it in Subway too.
We talked about Subway orders, though. That was our group chat.
Yeah, and I asked one of the workers the last time I was in there, I was like, are people ordering those footlong cookies? And they said, well, only through DoorDash, because everybody's embarrassed to order it in person. I was like, that adds
up. I'll take that in person, 100%. No, it's because
the people ordering them can't get out of their chair.
Give me the footlong chocolate raspberry.
1,400 calories in one of those 2-foot-long cookies. Just insane. He's like, they're like too much chocolate.
Tonight?
We could audible to a cookie draft.
We gotta get back to my Grammys talk because there's a few more things to touch on. Miley Cyrus, another beautiful woman, had a night along with SZA. I think Miley, they said this, but I could have just been hearing things. Her first Grammy. I'm not sure if any of her other music is.
That adds up.
What was it for?
Flowers.
She won for Flowers. Her album might have won something. You can never tell with the Grammys categories because they're so, like, every category is the same kind of. There's Record of the Year, Song of the Year.
They cleared that up during the presentation of Record of the Year. It was Meryl Streep presenting it with Mark Ronson, the guy who helped out with Barbie.
Let's put Meryl Streep out there to explain this to everybody.
The GOAT. I mean, you got to put Meryl Streep out there whenever you can. But, yeah, one thing about Miley, are her teeth too perfect? Like I don't think she has dentures, but it looks like she got like. Isn't that dentures? What's veneers. The term? Veneers.
I mean, is everything about her think she has too veneers? Perfect? Is everything about her just?
I feel like
perfect
everybody with? Once you make it, I feel like one of the first things you buy is veneers. I mean, you see, look at Ocho, look at Shannon Sharp. I mean, they're glow in the dark.
Shannon's are real.
Which I mean, I'm like when I make it, I'll
brush
sure
his teeth
veneers.
Six
I mean,
times
why
a
the
day.
Fuck not. Oh, shit. I know. I actually did see that take, so his actually might be real. Probably not, but maybe. You're right. I feel like
that is something I would say if I had veneers. I'd be like, no, I just brush my teeth 12 times
a day. Exactly, yeah. Like, no, dude, I had dental hygiene.
I got the Crest whitening strips the other day because I saw Ocho, and I was like, if I eat McDonald's 3 times a day, will I look like Ocho Cinco? Like, that's kind of the vibe that he's on.
He has to all right, put, boy, like, what else you know, the Grammys? The stuff people put over their couches when they don't want anybody to sit on it. He has to, like, a film over his teeth before he eats McDonald's to keep him that white. Because nobody's teeth are that
plastic.
White. McDonald's every day. Yeah.
Grandma's it's
like
plastic a plastic on their couch.
Like, boots for your shoes.
Give us the Grammy stock.
All right. What else we got from the Grammys? We got Billy Joel coming out of retirement. He's been sad and depressed. He lost all of his hair. He kind of looks like a Trumper now. Like, he looks like a January Sixer. Yeah, he looks rough.
January
6th. If he's doing this Grammy stuff,
do that to me,
if
Bill.
He's doing a tour, I think, coming up too. It might not be a good sign. Hopefully he's got a healthy.
But he's still kicking it. He's still rocking.
He's still fucking got pipes, man. So he played a new song that Cerrone, you said he came out this week. Amazing.
Yep,
I'm like, great. That was awesome. It ends. I'm like, damn, I wish he would have played an old song because, you know, we haven't seen him perform in so long. And then they cut to Album of the Year. Taylor Swift wins and the vibe's just down. You know, she's doing her weird, like, she has such bad body mannerisms. Like, it's just uncomfortable to watch her. Like,
she
looks good
awkward.
Performing. She looks good performing. Like, she knows how to perform, but she doesn't know
so
how to do
hot.
Anything else.
Ugh.
It's like she doesn't know how to walk, but she knows how to run. But
you think she's hot?
So they give
like
Taylor album of the year. Yeah, she just looks wrong.
I think
out
she's just drop dead gorgeous though. I think that girl's beautiful. But that's exactly my type. Like very pretty face, no boobs, no butt, blonde hair.
Not
no
my
boobs,
type, but
no butt.
Jealousy.
Looks like a
Taylor
mother bird.
Brought the vibe down.
Yeah.
Billy Joel comes back out. Trevor Noah's whatever race he is, he comes out and he's like, and to play us out. Billy Joel. And Billy Joel just plays an absolute fucking banger. Viv, you should maybe cut it in.
Can't.
You
towards
may be
the
right.
End
it's
to play us out. Cut it
Billy
in towards
song.
The end here to play us out. You could speed it up to make us not get in trouble. But Billy Joel just still a legend. Hopefully he's coming to Wells Fargo Arena in the near future.
Billy's timeless entertainment. That guy, it is, and you talk about his health. You know, you hear these, I mean, he was just when he was on his roll, just I can't imagine how much blow he's done, how many drugs, how many just part. And you hear it in his music, like even his new song, he's still talking about just like a girl, like a so that he, someone that he never got, and just like he's just been partying, living the dream for so long. But shout out that guy, timeless entertainer.
They said year he sold the Garden out. They said he sold the Garden out 150 times.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Bro, it's just like getting out. And I listen, like, I mean, I just remember my dad, like, getting home from work. And, you know, as a kid, you don't understand it. He would just go up to his little room, you know, on the second floor and just blast Billy Joel. And I remember just going up to him. I would go up to him, like, yo, do you want to go, like, you know, fucking do something or do whatever? He's just on the couch, his eyes closed. Hands like this, just feeling the music, just letting it sink in, just and it's through the roof. Like I would turn out of my street, and I could hear Billy Joel like four houses down. And it's like Tom, just TC blasting Billy Joel. You don't really understand that, but now, man, I put on Billy and just singing in the car, sitting on my. It's just fucking. He's one of the goats. He really is. He's yep. I mean, imagine entertaining for that many. I mean, 25, he's probably pushing 30 years of just rocking out sold out stadiums. He's a goat, man. They don't make him like Billy, like Elvis, like all those guys, Michael Jackson, right in that hole. Just all, I mean, Drake has kind of obviously got there, but yeah, dude, timeless entertainer. Tip the cap to get old Bill.
Agreed.
All right, so if I'm somebody in my position, like I'm not the biggest Billy Joel person. Where do I start? Like, what songs do I need to just start, like, get in
Piano
that Billy
Man,
Joel kick.
Only the Good Die Young, You May Be Right, The Entertainer, We Didn't Start the Fire, Uptown Girl. I mean, it's just, now, if you're going into it, right, like, I'm kind of like,
Vienna.
I kind of see myself as an old soul. Like, Vienna. Scenes from Italian
moving
Restaurant.
Out.
You,
moving Out.
Yeah,
Anthony
Moving
song.
Out. See? Bordy knows. But you got to kind of be in the mindset. Like, if you're going, like, you know, I wasn't listening to that much Billy when I was at ASU, and I was just kind of just like parting my ass off, going nuts. Like, you got to mature a little bit, and you start to see what he's talking about. Like, Moving Out is all about how, like, literally, why would you just, you know, spend your whole life in Jersey, just, you know, doing this average 9-to-5, spending money on a car and just hating your life? Move out, go chase
the dream.
Like, he's speaking to me. It's beautiful. Like, you kind of see, like, oh, this is like. This is a guy that like risked it all to be like an entertainer, went for it, and all his friends are doing this and that. Like, it's like you see a struggle. Like, it's like, I don't know, you can't get that from like fucking Ice Spice, I'll tell you that. Ice Spice doesn't fucking touch
it. Wait, so you're telling me there's no Destroy Lonely features on Billy Joel? That's upsetting.
Man,
if there's no Destroy Lonely features,
even,
I might be out.
Yeah, no, but if you're in a mature state of mind, a New York state of mind, some might say, another banger. You're gonna put that on, bump it, and just kind
of
let it ride, and you'll be
coke.
In a good mood.
Yeah,
maybe sprinkle a little blow in there,
dance around.
But yeah, just like a timeless entertainer, like just year after year, the guy keeps it going. It sucks that you were saying he looks a little washed up, but I mean, yeah, that'll do it to you. If you're selling out the Garden 150 times, yeah, you're probably gonna have some wrinkles on the face.
No shit.
I mean, the guy's what, 50, 60? He's got to be up there.
Yeah, he looked mid-60s.
But yeah, still
range.
A beautiful voice. Yeah, he dropped. Bro, I refreshed my Spotify and it said new single from Billy Joel. And I was like, there's no way. Like, it's either like a re-release or a remaster. And it's this banger, this sing-along banger. I'm blasting it the whole ride.
About
home
how
from
he's
dinner.
Back.
Just,
it's
I already
like
know every,
relevant.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I already know,
make
I already know
music
every
like
word
that
to
no
it. Yeah. And his voice is still so. The things I would do to have Billy Joel's voice are embarrassing. It's
fuck
just
you.
Like, yeah, I'd do just about anything. I'd let you fuck me for if we could make a deal with the devil, like we both just bang each other and both get Billy's voice. I mean, grab me a fucking.
Well, then we'd be out
some small condom, some spermicetta lube.
That's
I'm gonna need to become an A&R instead of a podcast host. I'm fucked. Like, I don't have any potters to go with anymore. All right, speaking
just
of that,
you play the piano. I'll
I can't.
Play sax.
All right, we need to move into our draft this week. We have the greatest rivalries draft. Now, these could be rivalries that have to do with sports or not. I think it's a little bit more interesting when we go our creative route and we come up with the ones that sit in the back of our head, because, you know, the idea of a rivalry, it charges us all, right? Like, I start my day with a rivalry against my alarm, and I just don't want to get out of my fucking bed. That's just a timeless one that I have. But then I also just see beef on the timeline all the goddamn time. It feels like we're always at odds with each other in some way or another. Obviously, there are sports organizations that hate each other. Yankees, Red Sox, Celtics, Lakers, Duke, Carolina. And we're doing this week because Duke just got their asses handed to them by North Carolina on Saturday night. Not a good night for your boy. Drink that one off. So, with that being said, we got to do the list randomizer here to determine the draft order and determine who's going to draft their favorite rivalry first. If you guys have any of the same rivalries as me on my list, I will be fucking shocked.
There's absolutely no way. Shocked. We'll just start, but yeah, I don't think there's a single sports. There's not a. What do we have? Three picks, or are we gonna do four
picks apiece for since there's three of us? Okay. Because once again, PD is not participating in the draft
since we're missing Shrimp Dick.
All right, here you guys can see
today.
You guys can see the list randomizer here, and Bordy told him, like, "Hey, don't eat two Italian beefs today, because we know that you're gonna fucking fall asleep if you don't, do." And what do you fucking
and then
know?
Don't go to the gas station and get Oreos. And you know what he does?
That's a good rivalry. Gets Oreos. PD and Italian beef.
All right, so I got the first pick. Bordy is the second pick, and Cerrone, you'll have the last pick again.
Oh, thank God, that was gonna come in hot.
All right, I got the first one.
Viv 1-1. What you got? What you got, bucko?
1-1. And this might not be as popular anymore, but there was like a 6-month span of my life where I don't think I could scroll my timeline without seeing one of these fucking weirdos just being a sicko. I'm going to go with tech billionaires, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jeff Bezos, versus behaving like a human being. Very simple. Okay, so I was thinking of The Social Network the other day, about rewatching it. And the fact that Jesse Eisenberg in that movie can humanize Mark Zuckerberg is fucking amazing. Like, that might be one of the best performances of all time. Because when I saw that originally, great I didn't movie. Know a lot about Zuckerberg. I saw it in 2010 when it came out. You know, I'm 12, 13 years old. I'm like, oh, this movie's about Facebook. I have Facebook. This is so cool. And then I watch it. I'm like, I feel bad for Zuckerberg. He doesn't have any friends. And he made a social media website to have friends. And it made no difference. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're not a good person, fuck that. That guy sucks, and he doesn't deserve any fucking friends. I mean, he's developing all of these weird things, and it's just like, you know, Musk is just as bad. Like, he is just, he's essentially Fred again. Like, Fred is the same person as Elon Musk. Like, I can't stand these autistic pricks. They just annoy the fuck out of me. It's just like, you just push buttons really rapidly and impress a lot of people.
Yeah,
and then Bezos and his fucking weird-ass laugh and his plastic surgery it up bitches, like, it just, can these guys do anything normal?
They're
like Steve
I
Ballmer
they're
for
literally
the Clippers
just wired differently.
Bill
they
Gates.
Are
like,
they definitely are.
They are literally just wired like, it's just not, obviously there's, I mean, that's, they're wired differently, you know, thank God, because we have Amazon, we have Tesla, but sure. Yeah, when it comes to the social, they got, it's just not happening. It's
it doesn't apply
with them. No.
I mean, they're like, imagine having a conversation with one of them. Just like, they come on the pod as a guest. Are they going to be able to talk about Drake or LeBron? Absolutely not. Paul Thomas Anderson? Absolutely not. Like, what am I going to talk about them with? Like, they're going to tell me about, I don't
maybe
know, like
weed, Mars, aliens.
Mars, like, maybe, like, they have, like, some technology that's, like, reading my face as I'm speaking, and they have, like, yeah. Siri in the back of their head, like, communicating what to say. Like, I just don't know
how
what I'm talking about.
Elon can alter my vocal cords so I can actually sound like Billy.
That, hey, listen, that's possible, Elon, so we might be able to use them positively.
Let me throw something out there. Put that chip. Do you see the chip that he's designing? Or it just got put into the first human?
No, mm-hmm. What?
There, Elon. So Elon had, like, it's like a AI chip that just got put into the first human. I think it was like a week ago, and it's taking people. This is pretty crazy. It's a guy. I mean, he's never been able to walk, and you put in this. You put this chip into his brain. You can use all his limbs. It's pretty insane.
It's like amazing. He can run like 60 miles per hour. Just like first day with the chip.
Yeah, he's just fucking. I mean, would that surprise you? He's
playing for the Chiefs next Sunday.
Like, yeah.
Fuck. This guy's got Neuralink. They gave Pacheco Neuralink.
Neuralink. That's
unstoppable.
What...
That's fucking unstoppable.
Yeah, Pacheco is actually the first guy. He's trying to get to China every step. Just fucking
Jesus. If they gave Pacheco Neuralink, the Earth is doomed.
Yeah, we're fine. That's the first superhuman
Godzilla
right there.
Godzilla situation on our hands.
But yeah, I'm going tech billionaires versus
I thought you were going to go Zuck versus Musk, because that was a little bit of a rivalry.
That faded out. That was, would you guys have paid for that pay-per-view?
100%.
No, I would have streamed.
I mean, or I would have streamed it, but I would have watched it for sure.
But if they were fighting at the Coliseum and like maybe they had some like prelims, like chicken fights or something, maybe. Maybe get me in there.
All right, Bordy, you're up.
All right, I'm going to go with a classic. You know, these guys have been beefing since episode one of this show. And it's one of my favorite shows of all time, one of the most hilarious shows of all time. That's South Park. And it's going to be the rivalry of Kyle Broflovski and Eric Cartman. Just timeless classic. Dynamite. You know, when they just hate each other for 25 or 20 seasons probably. Like, God damn it, Cartman, you fat motherfucker. And every time Kyle talks, Cartman's just like, shut up, Kyle, you fucking Jew. Just classic, man. Gets me every time.
You with that new crystal clear
Jew jokes,
mic. That's
they're
a
really
great
the
little...
only one. They're really the only ones I can get away with Jew jokes, and fat shaming. So it's just great, you know. Good banter. What do you got, Cerrone?
All right. I might as well just come out of the gate very hot. I got Bill Cosby and drinks being covered up by napkins.
Oh my God.
We might have to cut this whole segment, but you talk about a war. I mean, these guys have been going at it since the beginning of time. I mean, just throwing haymakers left and right, court trials, different types of products that Bill's got to go up and around and in and out. I think these two would be going at it for plenty more years. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if we can keep that, but
no, that works. That works.
Oh, no, Bill would get me for sure. He'd be doing the whoopity doopity doo. He'd get me down here. He'd be doing his weird.
Yeah, I think it's. Bill must have nightmares.
Over your shoulder.
Of just those little white paper squares.
I bet he has nightmares about more than that. Mm-hmm. I hope he has worse nightmares than that.
Do I double up here?
Double up.
Yeah. You gotta pick something worse than that. You can't.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
You can't
this
pick
is,
something
I was
soft
gonna
now.
Go,
like, the right. Ravens and the Steelers.
So, well, no, this is. I was gonna say. All right, second. This just go every time
Hitler
I see
and
a
the Jews.
Picture of this, Jesus Christ. Every time I see a picture of this guy, I don't know where he's looking to find these girls. I don't know why. I don't see the attraction. I get it with his, you know, size. But all-time rivalry, Shaq and girls that aren't tall enough to ride a roller coaster. Okay? Why every time do I see this guy with a girl? Is she... Now, I get it. He's a monster. He's insanely tall.
I had this talk with Petey earlier.
But you go for another... There's other taller girls.
Yep.
It can't be a rivalry, though, if they coexist. Like, they love each other.
I guess the rivalry would be Shaq against
tall
girls that are...
Yeah. Gotcha.
Every time I see... It's with a girl that is like... I mean, she's as tall as this coffee table. Hey, Shaq, pick on someone your own size for once in a while.
That's brilliant. That rivalry, he's blowing them out, literally. Like, it's not even close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yao was the same way. Yao was 7'6" and his wife was 4'10". And the picture
is
just like, it's just
girls,
like, automatic head.
Yeah, just get someone. I mean, there's taller women that are attractive. You don't have to go for. I just don't see how that would be. You think that's fun for him? I mean, we know it's not fun for her. But you think that's fun for him?
Throwing her around kind of deal. You know what's weird is we have...
It's got to be like a toy.
This is not sexual at all, but we have
a... bit of fun for everybody.
We have a kid on one of our teams, and his dad is a legit 7-footer, 7-foot flat. Might be 6'11", but I think he's 7-foot flat. and he comes to like all of his games, and I've, you know, coached his kid for the last 5-6 months a handful of times, and I finally like had a conversation with him. Like, I've seen him, and I've seen him at practices. He comes and picks his kid up and stuff. But I finally had a conversation with him after a game, after I was done coaching. He's like, "You do a great job." And I'm looking up at him.
Oh, you're probably so fired up.
I'm not short. I'm, you know, I'm a decent 6'1". I'm looking up at him. I'm like, "Thank you so fucking much. Like, thank you so fucking much. That's so sweet of you to say." And he's looking down at me. He's just like, "Yeah, I'm really happy with what you do with the kids." I'm just like, okay. Pick like, me fuck. Up, like,
wrap me off. You're a great coach. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm daddy after that. Thanks, Dad.
I was like, "Can I take a picture with you?" He's just a normal dude that wears Carhartt hoodies. All right, Bordy, you're back up.
I'm back up. I am. Speaking of Shaq and being allergic to tall women, I'm gonna with Leonardo DiCaprio and him being allergic to women over 24 years old. The age old rivalry high too. Yeah, I wasn't exactly sure on the number. I'm just kind of running with 24 just because that's kind of my number. But, yeah, Leo against 24-year-olds, like, you know, once they kind of build a worldview and kind of expect something from him, he's out. He's done.
Yep.
He's like, "Get me the fuck out of here.
I know what it is.
I want a girl that just wants to hang out on the yacht and look hot. No talk about kids. No talk about marriage. Just yacht. All right, yacht and titties."
Yep.
And, you know, girls turn 24, and that kind of gets old. So.
That's money. That's so good. Because, yeah, mine's kind of in the same vein. I've got Quentin Tarantino versus socks.
I got the same problem.
Just a timeless rivalry. Oh. I've never ever understood the foot fetish. It just doesn't make sense to me, you know. Like, I don't they're not cute, they're not pretty. People, if anything they're a turnoff. Like, it's just, you know, they got five little piggies down there and they wiggle. It's not,
it's
for
disgusting.
Me disgusting. And he can't help himself. And, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it felt like a self-acknowledgement when he's showing you the hottest woman in the world's feet. He's like, "I'm going to show you Margot Robbie's feet, not once, but twice. Margot Qualley's feet are on the dashboard. Like, I'm going to show you feet every like chance I get." It's like he heard the rumors.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that scene.
It's the new nipple.
And it's tough. All right, and then the other one that I have is, it's a personal one. It is.
Can the title of this be "Feet Are the New Nipple"?
No. Ew. Because they're not.
What about gooning at the Grammys?
The final one was me in seventh grade versus khaki pants. I think for like the entire seventh grade, I was hard, like genuinely, like not like half boner hard, like stiff hard. You know what I'm talking about? Like full rush blood. Yes, throbbing cock in khakis.
Got a pulse
hard
down there. A little hard.
That was just me
rubbing that shit on the
from
desk.
This January 22nd. 2010 to January 22nd, 2011, when I saw The Social Network, I was just cock up the entire time. And
what
did
The Social Network do for you?
When he throws the computer or slams the laptop.
It was just a serious, you know, going to Catholic school. And I think that it was commented on a lot by my friends, like, "Ralph, you're still fucking hard, dude. Like, what the fuck?" Like, and it didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how many times I treated myself. I was always throbbing. So, yeah, seventh grade me versus khaki pants. Timeless rivalry. They'll be talking about that one on the History Channel 30 years from now.
This is our first YouTube episode. You said that.
I love that. We're coming out of the gates hot.
I love it.
I love it.
Bordy,
he's
your
been
backup,
hard
right?
ever since. He's been hard for 13 years. If you have been hard for over 13 years, call your
beef. Issue, a call blood flow issue.
All right, Bordy, you're back up.
Oh, shit, I got another one. I was not ready for another one. Let's go with the Hawks and
one.
Cyclones, baby.
No, there's no way.
That's weak as fuck. What is your guys' favorite sports rivalry?
I have,
are you guys
like
even going to pick one?
You want me to just rattle them all off?
You can rattle them off at the end, but let's do sports rivalries really quick because we should mention some. My personal favorite the one that I get up for the most to this day, it's always going to be Duke and Carolina. And I think it's because when we were growing up, it was, you've seen the image of Tyler Hansbrough with a bloody nose, and it's like he had just gotten elbowed by Gerald Henderson. Like, that still sticks in my mind. They've had so many great pros come out of that program, and then just two legendary coaches in Roy and Coach K. And the fact that the schools are literally, I think it's 9 miles apart, that's insane for two big-ass colleges like that. You got Jordan, you got Kyrie, you have like this new generation.
They're nine miles apart.
It's insane. So I love that. I think that's probably my favorite. I don't know, you're a Yankees fan. Do you still feel like the hatred towards the Red Sox as a Cowboys fan? Is it towards the Eagles? Like Celtics, Lakers, like if they play in the finals, sure, I feel the rivalry, but they played in the regular season already this week, and I'm not scheduled watching that one.
20, 30 years ago, yeah.
I mean, 2008, yeah, sports, like, that was legit.
They're kind of all the same within themselves, you know? Like, it just depends on who you root for. It's kind of hard to pick one. Like, yeah, Cowboys versus Eagles, but, like, you guys could give a fuck less about that. So,
I like that one.
Our final pick? Are we doing four rounds?
I want to hear Cerrone, because it has to be Ravens Steelers, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're just going to do a quick little sport rivalry section, I would, yeah, Ravens Steelers is unbelievable.
I get up for that one. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about Bears Packers.
Yeah, and my anxiety level, I'd almost rather beat the Steelers than win a playoff game, which sounds so dumb, but you just don't understand how much that these two towns, these two cities, like growing, like, you know, it is a little bit of the same. I mean, this year it kind of was, we lost the Steelers twice this year. That's how crazy that is. That it's just always so close. It's always so good. The physicality, when you had Paul Malu, you had fucking Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, you had Big Ben. I remember that blindside hit that Big Ben took from Courtney Upshaw. I mean, just the pure just brutalness of these teams. Like, I mean, you heard Ray talk about it, but just the hate in each other's eyes, that it didn't matter what your record was, didn't matter what the skill level was, it didn't matter anything about that. When these teams played, it was going to be either a brutally physical game, and they're going to win it by 1 or 2 or 3 points. No one's putting up over 20. It's just going to be an absolute bloodbath for the whole game. I get up for that every year. That's something that still has kept its kind of sauce. And you got Harbaugh, you got Tomlin, have been there for a while. You got Tomlin. Remember when he tripped, what's his name, on the punt return? Just like, yeah, first of all, fuck, that's just a fucking, just a scumbag move. But, like, that's the rivalry. It's a bunch of scumbags playing football against each other. You're trying to hurt some people out there, Durham. You're not really trying to injure people the rest of the season, or you're not trying to injure anybody, but you're trying to hurt people.
There's a few more hit sticks in those games. Like, there's more shoulders being dropped, a little bit less wrapping up.
Slide.
Yeah, it's bigger. Like, we're going for a massive hit here. I think maybe the best way to measure what the best sports rivalry is, if you have two fans, right, and one is wearing Ravens gear and the other one is wearing Steelers gear, and they see each other in, like, a gas station or a Walgreens.
I chirp people with Steelers with Steelers t-shirts on at gas stations all the time. A friendly chirp, he throw one back. That's a great point.
That's a good
way
to get fucked
up. I went to a finals game when LeBron played the Warriors. This was like probably 5 or 6 years ago in the finals, and I have a LeBron jersey on, and the Warriors won that game, and people are like telling me good game. And like, oh man, like I fucking love LeBron, like good game, like I think. I'm like, what the fuck are you? Dude, this is another random fact. I went to a Bruins game and they played the Habs, which is like another random rivalry, but we were like kids, bro, and they're like pouring beers down my shirt. And that's the East Coast. That's fucking, you know, that's Boston.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
different than Silicon Valley.
Pieces of shit, yeah, but like you're getting, as a kid, beers thrown at you. And then you go to like a game in Golden State with all the tech, you know, nerds, and they're kind of like, you're like, hey, it was a good game. Like, you guys played well. It's like, I don't even want that. Like, I'd rather you almost say, like, LeBron sucks. Like, it just start chirping, like, fuck you, fuck. It's all, it almost like, that's what makes it fun. Like, that's what makes going to the games fun. That's what gives, like, the atmosphere. That's what makes the players want to play more. Yeah, you need that fucking, like, that hate, that juice. Like, that's, like, I mean, that's sports, like, at the end of the day. I think, did we lose Bordy here?
We lost him for a second. I'm sure he'll be
back. Had some connection issues. I'm part of, like, a
rivalry. Like, the biggest rivalry for me really is Bears versus Packers. And it hasn't, I mean, it still is a rivalry. It's still maintained. Well, like, the hatred is still there. But, yeah. Right, like, I'm on the losing side of it constantly. And every year, I still try to talk shit to my Packer friends. And it never amounts to any wins.
It's been how many years since you guys have won?
4.5 years. 5.5 years, yeah, something along those lines. And it's just, it's exhausting. That's why I'm, like, so far on the Caleb train. Because I'm like, you know, I think I said it on our show, was if Justin won that last game, sure, let's keep him. Let's make this the do or die game. You know, he's 32 starts into his career or something like that at this point. Let's give him a shot to go out and do it. And they did, and he fucking fell short again. And I think that's a tough mental hurdle to overcome. Like, if you lost to a team like that, what, 4 times in a row for him, it's tough, like, the next time you see those jerseys to be like, I'm going to go out and beat them, when you're literally 0-4 or 0-5. Like, he would have to win every single game the next 3 years just to get back to even against them. Not to get a winning record against them, to get back to even. And that's just, it's tough. It is, because it's like, why can't I should be able to talk shit as a fan once every 5 years at least. I should be able to talk shit against my bitter rival. Right, like the Steelers and Ravens, it's up and down. It's back and forth. That's what it is. Even in your best years, the Steelers can still beat you guys. Like, you guys were the one seed this year. Two of the losses were to them.
Yeah, the Ravens have a it's funny you say it, too, because the Ravens have a big billboard in their locker room. I've seen it before, and it says, you're not a Raven until you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. And that's how serious – I mean, it's true. It really is true. And they see that every time. I mean, they could be playing a regular home game, and they just see that every time. So it's a blast. But yeah, that's what gets you. If you don't have a rival, if your team doesn't have a rival, and then I also go back to, I mean, the college football rivals. That's a whole different. Like, we could talk about that for probably 30 minutes. But those are another one. Like, when you see, like, the Iron Bowl, when you got Bama and those guys, and you got Ohio State, obviously Michigan. I wasn't really in that world for a while, but holy shit, like, Ohio State, Michigan, like, that's the only game that matters. Atmosphere.
It's literally the only game that matters for that season. Yeah.
Literally. Have you ever been to one of those? I feel like, because you're kind of in that.
No, we're in the Midwest, but I've watched every one, like, my entire life. Like, I'm the same as you. Like, I'm not super into college football. I'm a Sundays guy. All right, after some technical difficulties there, we are back to Bordy with a draft pick. Did you come up with something while we were filibustering for you?
Yeah, that's my fault. I spilt my rum and coke on my laptop and had to clean that up. And in true R&C fashion, I'm going to go with another TV show, another great rivalry, and it's going to be Jim Leahy, Mr. Leahy, versus Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles of the Trailer Park Boys.
Great show.
Missed that another, show. Another goaded comedy series out of Canada. Rip Mr. Leahy, he was in the show. He was just an old drunk. RP. And apparently he actually drank on set. Like, it was all real booze.
Makes sense.
I'm not sure if that might just be...
I believe that 100%.
That might just be Trailer Park Boys lore. But, great rivalry. Always antics there. With that bunch.
All right, Cerrone, you want to take your two and just rattle off a bunch?
Yeah, I got a bunch. I'll start off with a more serious, or not a serious one, but like one that, like, I think we all agree on. Josh Gordon and weed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy. I don't want to say.
Could have been the greatest football receiver of all time.
I mean, you said it, not me. I don't know if that's not. I feel like that's very acceptable to put out there. when that guy played, I mean, do you remember the numbers he would put up?
12 catches, 220 yards, 3 touchdowns. It was like Megatron. The fact that he was in Cleveland, like right after LeBron left, it was like, we have our savior.
3,000 yard seasons?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he would be like suspended half the year.
It wasn't a one.
Like seven games.
Yeah, exactly. And the other half, when he was playing, he's just baked out of his mind.
He was never stopping.
To see this guy, and that's the thing, is usually it happens once or twice and it's over. It must have been like, you know, kind of just feel bad for the guy just 4 or 5 times. And then he kept trying to come back, and like it's like this heartbreak, like he comes back. And then just every time he came back, it just wasn't the same. That guy just could not get over the weed.
Isn't it hilarious that it was pot, though? Of all the drugs, he was just addicted to bong rips.
It was never really his problem. Adderall. It was the league's problem. Like, facts. He had no problem with weed. He could fucking score 5 touchdowns high as a kite.
That's true. That's true. He was... Great relationship.
I'm sure it was doing great things for him. He's probably a terrible person when he's not high.
Literally.
Yeah.
And the poor, you kind of think of like what could have been. It's sad to think about. I can just rattle these off. These are just kind
of
funny.
He got really high and scored a lot of touchdowns. So he lived a pretty decent life.
I assume he's. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing now, but he's probably got a big house somewhere. Yeah. Just chilling, boatloads of money, doing a podcast that we haven't heard of.
Probably
yet.
Just smoking
hustling pot.
But
yep.
Yeah, just ripping. I know, get him on a pod, just ripping weed, just talking to fucking other athletes. Next, I'll just rattle off a couple. Ray Lewis and being guilty. This hits home for me a lot. Obviously, proven. Innocent, obviously, never did
obviously
a thing. But for this guy to go, I mean, you got to really put it in perspective because it's something that has never happened. I mean, maybe Hernandez, but to be an NFL player and then to be put on trial for literal murder, to win that case and then come back and get a fucking ring. I mean, that's all I have to say. That's all I have to fucking say. Ray won that fucking rivalry. I also got Josh Giddey and your younger cousin. This is a more recent one, but again, it's been going at it pretty recently. A lot in the news. A lot on. I see the craziest shit on Snapchat. Maybe it could pick back up. This rivalry could get some sparks going a couple years down the road.
I think the best representation of the Giddey thing was when. His Thunder team went to somebody's jersey retirement for their high school.
Yeah, they boo him. He can't even.
No, he didn't even show up.
Man.
The whole team went. He didn't even go.
Yeah.
He was a no-show.
Show up because he was in the janitor's closet, and he was, finger banging.
He was underneath the bleachers.
So it was Trey Mann, who's like one of their backup point guards, something along those lines, and it was like he was getting his jersey retired at his old high school. They were like putting him in the Ring of Fame or whatever. And they just show every single Thunder player walking past the student section, like in the game. They're all like fucking baped out. They got on their fucking Gucci and Off-White and all this shit. And everybody that's watching the clip is thinking in their head, like, when is Giddey showing up and how is the crowd going to treat him? Never shows up because he was in the chemistry room, exploding on some chick's chest.
Allegedly, Viv has sources and. High schools across the country, obviously.
Yeah, they.
Facts.
But it is
alleged. They're all dropped, right? Weren't the charges? I feel like Ralph would know this, but didn't he get off? Like,
yeah.
He's good to
it
go.
It was one of the things.
The family just kind of said, you know what?
The parents knew that she was fucking an overage dude, and it's kind of wrong for the parents to press charges in that spot. Sadly, seen it before.
What else you got?
Yeah. I got, and then just to wrap up, it's kind of funny because I wrote this one this morning before I heard that Billy Joel played the Grammys, but it's Billy Joel, Elton John. These guys will be doing, it's kind of hilarious, they'll be doing these retirement tours. Elton John's been doing a retirement tour for 6 years now.
Yeah.
It's bro, and like, I love it. because I keep getting to go. I want to keep going to these shows. I've never seen Billy live. You know, all these guys, it's just so funny because you know they're just milking all of our parents and my money. They know they're not going to retire. They're going to be doing this again next year. But they're getting just racks after after boatload of money. And money, everybody thinks this is the last. Yeah. If I, for some reason, knew that it was, it was 100% that Billy was going to play his last show. I mean, I'd fly to wherever and go see it. But they're just keep doing it over and over and over again. So, it's just kind of like this ongoing joke now. It's like, man, just like hang up the cleats. Like, just fucking get it over with. But
that's going to be hilarious. In 50 years when, you know, he's retired and he's like, you know, passed on the Bordenero's Pizzeria to whoever the fuck. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to get in one last time and I'm going to make a Chick-fil-A pizza.
I'm resting for a while, but I'm bringing out the oven. At the end of the day,
it's in Iowa. I'd fucking snag that.
I mean, there's a shop doing that around town selling some old school pizzas because, you know, at the end of the day, nostalgia.
Bammies.
Yeah, nostalgia sells a little bit.
The Bammies pizza sold.
It does.
But yeah, that's my.
What was that one we were just talking about?
List. I'm having that's my draft.
A hole in my brain moment.
Billy Joel and these versus retirement tours.
Oh yeah,
it's like it's if Kobe good, did that retirement tour and then he came back the next year.
My buddy had McGregor. A interesting note. Lil Wayne's coming to town next month or beginning of April, and he was like, "Man, anytime you get a chance to see Lil Wayne, you know, you just never know.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, you never know if it's going to be his last concert. So you kind of got to go.
Like, yeah, you got to go to it.
But
because that's just a great point. Like,
yeah, but like you never would have said
like Juice
that
World,
about
I wish
Juice
I would have
World
saw fucking
Mac Miller
Juice World
like
Mac like some of these." Yep. Artists that, you know, might have a lower average lifespan if you pooled them all and really broke it all down. You might want to see them before they turn 27.
Yeah,
how about rappers turning 27? That's one.
That's a good rivalry.
That's such a great...
That's a sad rivalry, though. Yeah, that's a
just
tough
all
one.
Musicians.
Let's get a happy
one.
Who's got a happy
one? All those guys, 27.
I think I've got another
fun one.
I mean, it's actually kind of sad. But, Bordy, I think you're up with your fourth pick,
Snickers.
And then it's my fourth pick. Is Saron.
Me and Snickers. Me and
that's not
Snickers.
A rivalry. That's a relationship right there.
Yeah, it's a relationship.
You and not having enough Snickers? Is that it?
Probably me and eventual heart failure. That's a rivalry, right? Because I'm constantly at battle with it.
He's like, yeah, I think I got a happy
and
one.
You're just Derrick Henry stiff-arming it every year, one at a time. And then, you know, one day you're not going to have the burst anymore to get through the line
gonna
of scrimmage.
Yeah, one day I'm not going to have that Derrick Henry
a little ankle tackle.
You know, you got to look at your genetics, you know, and be honest with yourself. Most of the men in my family die.
That's taking a sad turn.
72. And it's usually heart failure.
That's a good. Long I think I said like late 40s. 70 is a pretty.
Late 40s.
I mean, after, I'm not trying to be around too much longer after 75. Like,
oh,
let's
man.
Be honest here.
70 to 85 seems so nice. Like,
you
could just
though?
Be such a prick
think
to everybody.
About, you're shitting your pants.
You got so much money.
You're not getting
everything's
hard.
Paid off finally. Like, your kids are kind of all.
Who says you're not getting hard?
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't know what you're really.
De Niro's still having fucking kids.
I mean, that.
Yeah,
De Niro's
like
still
that's
fucking.
That's a great. He's not eight. Is
fucking
he 82?
Black ass.
I got the last one here.
That's okay.
This is maybe the rivalry of
women?
The decade. It's been it's been 10 years since NCAA Football 14 came out. And there have been rumors of NCAA football coming back the last 3 or 4 years. Bordy and I love Madden. Bordy, I don't know your thoughts on NCAA football, but when it comes out, I'm getting it the first day. And you guys, this podcast won't be released for 3 months because all my free time will be going towards rebuilding Iowa into the dynasty that they deserve to be. But the rivalry is NCAA football against release dates. There was a report, according to The Athletic, that's an EA Sports insider said that NCAA football... 24 or 25 rather will be coming out in July.
It's gonna be 26
of this
year.
Point. Yeah. and I just don't believe it. I've gotten my hopes up one too many times. There was rumors that there was going to be a commercial during the national championship game. It didn't happen. Maybe it happens during the Super Bowl. Probably not. And it's just crushing. It's just one of the best fucking games. I think about it all the time when I'm playing Madden. I'm like, yeah, this is great, you know, controlling the Bears. But God damn it, it'd be so fucking fun to rebuild Tulsa.
EA has the contract, though. An absolute
clinic.
If EA has the contract, it's going to be ass. It's going to be pay to play.
It's just going to be Madden. It'll be the same gameplay as Madden, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, they're going to...
I'm not doing Ultimate Team. I'm just rebuilding a Dynasty offline. I'm just cooking with it. But yeah,
it's going to be Madden game. Mechanics, probably.
Back in my life. Because I can't wait to get a black quarterback in an Iowa Hawkeye uniform every single year.
Your game will just crash.
Rebuilding the program.
The app just force closes every time. Like, it's one of those glitches in the game. Code. Like, I have this one Madden play where, if, like, I pitch it, it just automatically force closes my game on that play. It's what's going to happen if it's a black QB even on the roster at Iowa.
Is that a real
thing? If he
even
gives a black QB a jersey at Iowa, they might just...
Yeah, I can't even have a backup.
Yeah, he might get an Xbox ban.
That's fucked.
All right. Removed. Okay, let's get into On This Day in History before we get out of here. Bordy, you got a good one this week. This
one
is crazy. I've never heard a fact like this. Yeah, this is great.
This one getting the Jesus loan?
This is my favorite On This Day in History we've had yet. Except for the Kobe one.
2-5. 5's a good birthday. 5's a lucky number. Not sure if you guys are into that. But Ronaldo and Neymar were both born February 5th. So if you're having a kid today, by
two of the five greatest soccer players of all time. So like that's the equivalent of LeBron and
Kobe.
Yeah, Katie or Steph or Kobe. Like this current generation being born at the same time. That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. So
would you ever plan out your
conception?
Well, it's not really up to you, Cerrone.
Yeah. But would you try to ballpark, you know?
Like, babe.
What I'm saying is...
Wait a sec. Like, wait a few days here. Like, we got the
I'm talking about...
He's talking about the
nine
fucking...
months.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about 9 months ahead. Months. Like, if you're thinking about, you know, like, listen, if I really wanted my kid to be born on Billy Joel's birthday, whenever that is, like, I might be like, you know what, let's try to get it going around... 9 months. Let's try to get this going, like maybe this week, because it just gives it a way better chance that he's on the same. Like you do that with LeBron, Ralph. I bet your ass that you do that. 9 months. When is LeBron born? Do you know?
December 30th, 1984.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're definitely gonna be clapping cheeks. What in March, April? It's gonna be a thought in your head.
And you know what? That's smart too, because like if I'm cheap. I'm not cheap. Like, if I were, I would, you know, combine Christmas and the birthday. That'd be a nice little cheat code right there. Like,
your life sucks. You get half the presents that every other kid in the world gets.
Yep. Sorry, buddy.
But you were born one day after
LeBron.
You should miss it by one day.
You get a little tight suit for your birthday and Christmas.
Ralph trying to shove the baby back in. The doctor's like, yo, just trying to shove it
his
back.
His name's going
to
be LeBron.
30 minutes.
You
got to
abandon him and do your duty. Otherwise, he's just going to be a fucking white kid named LeBron.
I got to get out of the picture.
LeBron Campiano. Imagine that. Jesus
That might be the greatest rivalry of all time right there. LeBron's dad versus financial decisions. Leaving
that guy's
got
to be dead.
Like that child... I think there's a rumor that he's a crackhead or something like that. So,
does he not know his dad?
No.
What?
Yeah.
Every time a shot goes up, I could just.
I never knew that.
No father.
He's got 100% not be alive because that. You can see it in the rotation of the basketball, can't you?
The way he dunks that shit. From day one, I saw him dunk in high school.
Yeah.
That's a no daddy dunk right there.
His dad's a Celtics fan. It sucks twice as bad because
Celtics
fan.
He's a degenerate better, too.
That's like meeting a girl with like tattoos and piercings and just a log on. I was like, yeah, is your dad dead or in prison? It's got to be one or the other.
All right, on that note, once we start talking about LeBron's dad and the bag that he dropped, that's where we got to end it. Okay, so we will
started
be back.
Started on Mahomes' dad.
Recapping
we started
it. It's going to be
Mahomes'
tough
dad
because...
and ended on LeBron's dad. Real full circle.
Yeah.
And then on LeBron's.
Yeah, great rivalry. Women's sports and paychecks.
Yeah.
And you yep. pay. That's a great rivalry. That's a legit rivalry.
Next week's episode is going to be tough because Cerrone and I will be together Sunday for the Super Bowl. We'll probably be drunk. I am trying to have all of my equipment for that. So if we do, we will record drunk Sunday night together or Monday afternoon. We'll figure it out. We'll get it sorted out. But you guys will have an episode next week with this crew. And hopefully Petey doesn't eat 17 Italian beefs in one day and he can actually show up for his fucking job here. But Bordy, Cerrone, thank you guys. You guys got anything you want to say before we sign off?
Have a good Super Bowl week. Try to maybe fast
yes. week.
Fast throughout the
Billy
week.
Joel
you know, Sunday, bird. It's going to be carb load, baby. It's going to be carb load. It's going to be load up on booze.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
no,
call.
That's not happening.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of things going through this body.
All right, everybody have a beautiful week. We will see you on the other side. Peace out.